Well, I have the great privilege tonight of introducing our guest speaker. He is the person who for many years oversee and led the Elim churches around the world. He's an author. He now speaks all around the country and speaks into movements and mentors leaders around the place. In fact, I've had the privilege over the last few years of meeting three times a year with John, and he's inputted into my life in remarkable ways, and I thank God for him. So as he comes up to speak now, would you welcome him and invite him, welcome him to Corby and invite the presence of the Holy Spirit even as we welcome him. Come on. Thank you. Let me just pray. Father, thank you for John. Thank you for his ministry. Thank you for the anointing on his life. And I pray that his words now will speak as now words into our situation. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you, Damon. Great to be with you today. Everybody well? What an amazing celebration meeting to 10 years. 10 years is not a long time. I know if you're 10, it's a long, long time because it's your whole life. But it's not a long time in the life of a church. So to get to this level in 10 years is phenomenal. Now, I'm not talking about myself at all, but I will say this. I did lead Elim for 16 years, and in this country, 950 ministers. I'm going to tell you something. This will embarrass this man, but of those 950 pastors, this guy here is one of the best pastors in this movement. I want to tell you, he's awesome. You guys too, you know, great team. And so... He always talks about you so highly. On those occasions we are to get together, he talks about you so highly, talks about Adam and Ruth highly, and he just talks about everybody else and never talks about himself. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that? But I want to honor you there because you're one of the finest pastors. I'm the son of a pastor, I'm the grandson of a pastor, and my great-grandfather was a pastor. And so I've met a few pastors in my time, and I've led a few pastors. This man is one of the best. And I've been looking forward to coming. Yeah, come on, give the Lord a prayer. You're very fortunate, and with these guys. Very fortunate. Now, I've been looking forward to coming for a couple of reasons. Number one, it's a huge privilege. It's totally my honor to be able to be with you at the celebration. But also, too, you know when a preacher comes and he knows he's got a word from God, you know, and it's not a sermon, it's a word for the house, and that's how I feel tonight. And so I want to read some passages which are is from Genesis. And, you know, when you're in church, when I visit places, I don't know everybody. I know a few people here. I don't know everybody. And I don't know your story. And I want to say tonight, and this was when I was praying over this word earlier today again. Obviously prepared it some time ago. But when I was praying over it again, you know, I want to say if you're going through a tough time right now, talking about you as an individual, if you're going through a really tough time, I want to say something about tough times. When you have a great victory in your life, your most vulnerable time is just after that victory. Because, you know, you think, oh, I'm good, everything's going well with me. And you've got to watch out, that's where the devil gets in sometime. But if you're going through a real heartache and a difficulty, it's always darkest before the dawn. And I want to tell you, if you're going through a difficulty, that is the time for your breakthrough. That is the time for a new day. Because the story in Genesis chapter 13, I want to read, comes in Abraham's life at a moment when he just had a horrendous time. Major family breakup, great difficulties, division, all manner of things. And yet at that moment, God gives him one of the greatest promises for the future. And so that happens so often. So happens so often. And so this is what it says in Genesis 13. Read a few verses. And I want you to receive this as a church. I want you to receive it as individuals and families. How many people know God really does want to bless us, doesn't he? You know, he's a generous God. And we've got reason to celebrate. He wants to bless us. We can't outgive him. We can't outgive him in our giving financially or in our service. We always turn out the better for it. And this is what it says. The Lord said to Abram after Lot had parted from him, because that was the family breakup, look around from where you are. Come on, say it with me. Look around from where you are. Now, you see, that's important. Look around from where you are. Look around for a way. In fact, if you, the old King James Version Bible says, lift up your eyes. That was one of the songs we were singing earlier. Lift up your eyes. When you're down, that's the time to lift up your eyes. When you're discouraged, that's the time to lift up your eyes. When you're tired, that's the time to lift up your eyes. And so he says, this is what it says. Look around from where you are, to the north and the south, to the east and the west. All the land that you see, I will give to you and your offspring forever. Now, someone said just earlier, it was a great thought there. Adam, it was you, wasn't it? In 100 years' time. Because what happens is, in leadership and in people who are trusting God, God puts something inside of us. He makes us, sorry about this word, Adam, pregnant with all his future. I don't know what that story's about, but, you know, God said to the patriarchs of old, in your loins are generations, are kings. And in other words, you'll die one day. But when you die, your offspring will go on and on and on. And in the life of these 10 years, God has put within this house, he's put a seed, like a farmer has a bag of seed to put into a field. You know, that will go on and germinate and germinate. And so this was a word of promise. And he said, look to the north, south, east, and west. And then it says, so that if anyone could count the dust, that then your offspring could be counted. Go walk through the length and breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you. Now, there's a thing about vision that we sometimes get a little bit wrong. Vision, most people, when they say, I've got a great vision, do you know what they mean? They mean a vision for the future. Because it's always like, you know, God's going to do something one day, or God's going to do something great in my future. But when you look at this story, this was an amazing vision that God gave Abraham. He says, I don't want you to look into the future. I don't want you just to look into the promised land. And I'm going to tell you, friends, we don't look for a promised land. You and I and Hope Church Corby, you live in a land of promises already. You live in God's promises and you have that. And there is a great future for this church. And there's no question about that. But what happens is we think that all the time, well, one day it's going to be greater when we get to God's best blessing. Well, we're going to get that right out of the way tonight. In the next half hour, we're going to be looking how God's promises are for the now. God's promises are for the now. And you know, I believe there's going to be a breakthrough in individuals' lives who've been hoping and praying for the future, and God will give you a revelation that his promise is for your now. And so God says to Abraham, look, over there is the great stuff I'm giving you, but I don't just want you to look north. The Bible says here, look north, south, east, and west. Now, that's 360 vision. How many people want a 360 vision from God? Amen? And so, first of all, he says, I want you to look south as well. I want you to look south. South is where you've come from. Someone say, where you've come from. So, 10 years of coming from. I just wish I was in the... I was hoping I was going to see 25 minutes of that film, however long it was. Because, you know, but you're going to see that, and I'm going to miss out on that. But that must be awesome. That's where you've come from. That's the celebration of yesterday. My south, if you like, in a spiritual way, is the seeds that have grown, the people that have grown, people like Carlton who's got saved and walking with God, and others of you testified. It's yesterday, that's my south. And God wants us to honor yesterday. He really does. He wants us to honor our yesterdays. You know, when God appeared to Moses and he said, you know, you're going to be a man who... you're getting on in years, but you're going to be leading 2 million people out of slavery. He didn't come and say, Moses, you know, you're the man, you're today's man. You're called, you're the person who is awesome. Do you know what God said? He introduced himself like this. He says, Moses, I am the God of Abram, Isaac, and Jacob. Before you ever turned up, before you ever lived, there was a generation of people who have been faithful in the past. And because of their faithfulness, I'm now coming to you as the person with the baton to go into the next future. And so we honor yesterday. And it's right to do that. That video is important. I hope, you know, if you get... I don't know whether people can get copies of that video. But you'll keep it and pray over it. And thank God for that core group that were there in the early days. Look to the past, look to the south. And then the Bible says, look to the east and the west. What's the east and the west? Well, if that's the future and that's the past, then the east and the west are the people that are with us now. Because, you know, God, we have a personal relationship with Jesus as individuals, okay? It's a personal thing. But it's not just a personal thing. It's a family thing, isn't it? It's a church thing. And whatever God's going to do in you, he's going to do it because he's going to bless the people around you to bless you and bless you to bless them. And there's an east and the west around us, each one of us. And it's not just looking out for what's good for us, it's what's looking out for those around. But there is a great future too. And so God says, this is your past. These are the people who are with you. Honor them, cherish them. Speak into their life. Allow them to speak into your life. But over there, Abraham, this is a place that you are going to be going into. You haven't seen it yet. You haven't seen it yet. Now, one of the difficulties with looking north and south, yesterday and tomorrow, is that with yesterday and tomorrow, there are snares. Snares are things, as we all know, that stop us going from where we are to where we want to get. So if there is a fox running from one copse of trees and he wants to get across a field, he wants to see the vixen, he wants to be with the cubs, he doesn't care about the field, it's just a place to go to get to where he wants to go. And all he's thinking about is where his destination is. But then the farmer has put a snare, a steel trap, right there in the middle of the field. He can't see it. If he could have seen it, he would have avoided it. And he puts his paw into it, and it stops him. The pain is awful. Dreadful thing, his poor animal. It forgets everything that was in his mind about the future. He is only now concerned about his present pain. That's what happens when, you know, there are seven snares. I'm not going to preach on them. Yeah, be glad to know tonight. But there are seven snares the Bible says that you and I have got to avoid. And because they're there in the scripture, it helps us to make sure, like a minefield, we can avoid them. But there's a snare in yesterday, and there's a snare in tomorrow. And I want us to tell you what those snares are. The snares of yesterday, and I don't think for one minute this church will get into it, is nostalgia. You know? Do you know, it's all right now, but if you were here in the early days when God really blessed, if you were here in my grandmother's year or the days of George Jeffries, or you were here in the days of the Great Revival, I don't know where the church is today, but in the old, you see, that's become a snare now. Because that which was a blessing for a previous generation now begins to give me excuses why I shouldn't move on. Yesterday can become a snare. You know the story where, in the Old Testament, the people were bitten by serpents because they'd gone away from God. God wanted their attention. And God says to Moses, get a pole and make a bronze serpent. Put it on the pole because that's a symbol of their failure. And we need them to repent. And so he did this. He got somebody to put a bronze serpent. And he said, now I want you to acknowledge the mess you're in. You know, sometimes, friend, the mess we're in isn't the devil's fault. Sometimes it's our fault. You know, the devil gets blamed for an awful lot of stuff that's our fault. You know, I mean, I'm making apologies for the devil tonight, David, but it is sometimes we mess up. But anyway, he said, look, if you acknowledge that the mess you're in with all these serpents is because that's why the serpents are here. But if you'll look and acknowledge it, you're going to live. Look and live. Look and live. That's a great story. Loads of people got healed. It's one of the biggest healing meetings that ever was in the Bible. Thousands of people got healed at one moment just because they acknowledged that they'd failed and they were repenting. The trouble was they never threw the serpent image away. Somebody kept it in, I don't know, cupboards or buried it or whatever, but eventually when things weren't going well, and I want to tell you, things are going well in this church, but all churches go through seasons. And you have struggles and you have blessings, you have winters and you have springs, it happens. And when things weren't going well for them, somebody brought out the serpent which had been a blessing and they began to worship it. They worship what God did yesterday when he wasn't doing a great deal as they thought today. And the very thing that had been a blessing had become a curse. So yesterday, if we just focus on that, is a problem. And then, of course, tomorrow can be, the future can be a problem. Looking up, you know, we believe God's got great things for Hope Church, Corby and I. 110%, if that were possible, believe that. There's no doubt about that. But you know, for some people, blessing for them is always in the future. It's always in the future. You know, when your kids, you're thinking, you know, wouldn't it be great when we haven't got adults bossing us around and we're grown up at least. Let's get to 18. Let's get to young adults. It'll be great. Then you get to 18 and you think, wow, it's great being 18, but do you know, it's really going to be great for me when I get married. When I find the right man or the right woman, you know, whichever gender the child is or the young adult is. And so they get married and say, you know, it's all right now, but it'll be really fabulous when we have kids. Because kids are going to make us feel totally complete, so they get kids. And so the kids begin to grow up and say, you know, it's great having kids, but won't it be brilliant when they leave home? Won't that be awesome? And we can actually have the house to ourselves, you know, we can just live. And so, you know, they leave home, they get married and they leave home. And they say, well, you know, it's great now, we've seen the kids, we can see them when we want to, they've got their own kids now. But do you know what's going to be really awesome? What's really going to be awesome is when we retire. That's when it's going to start for us. You see, procrastinating, it's pushing the blessing into the future. And then they retire. Don't have to get up early in the morning. And they retire and then they think, if only I was younger. If only I was fitter. And if only. And do you know what's happened? You see, procrastination is not just the thief of time, it's the thief of blessing. And do you know what God says? He says, this is the last thing that God said to Abraham. The first one is lift up your eyes, lift up your head. You've got reasons to be down, I know, but I want you to lift up your head now. I want you to see what I've got for you, but I don't just want you to look in the future. I want you to look into yesterday and thank me for yesterday. I want you to thank me for the people who are working alongside me. That's you and me in church thanking God for what he's doing for us, but thanking God for what he's doing in other people's lives. That's why testimonies are so good, isn't it? That's why it's so lovely to have the children out here, to have other people out here, you know, and they're just, I know it's just touching the surface, but when you listen to that, and when, I've got to be honest with you, when they hear your applause, it gives them affirmation. And, you know, it's important to recognize those alongside us. I almost don't want to go on until we realize that this is a place to appreciate. There are people around you. The people around you. Go on, turn to somebody nearby and tell them, I appreciate you. Go on, do it. You know, even though you're English, some of us, hey, we appreciate you. Appreciate you. You know, I do meet some proud people. I meet some proud Christians. I've met some proud Christians. I have, really. They do exist. But most of the Christians that I meet are not proud. They don't realize how important they are to church, to God, and to one another. And we're not going to give anybody a big head by affirming them. So when God says, look yes to yesterday, look around, and look forward, he then says these words. And these are the words I want to be leaving you with in a moment. He says, having done that, Abraham, looking north, south, east, and west, he says, go walk. Go walk. Go walk through the length and breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you. So he's saying, that was yesterday, this is today, there's tomorrow, but don't just hunger for God's blessing tomorrow. Don't just hunger for God's blessing. Go walk. Enter in. Someone say enter in. Enter in now. You know, now is a little word, but it's a massive word in the Bible. If you're not a Christian, if you're not in tonight and you've come with friends and, you know, you're not yet a Christian. You know what the Bible says? Come now, says the Lord. Let us reason together. Even though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. The Bible says now. Come on, what's the word? Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You know, when I'm talking about God's now, we're ending with God's now. Now is not just a time to receive blessing, because I'm going to come to that in a second or two. Now is the time, especially on an anniversary, funnily enough, is to say, if I'm holding anything that I shouldn't be holding on to, now is a good time to get rid of it. Any resentments, any hurts, any jealousies. And we're all children of God, but we're still human, aren't we? Any pain, any unforgiveness, now's the time to get rid of it. Tomorrow's never a good time to do that. Never a good time to do that. You know, a man was going on hill walking in Scotland. Marilyn and I lived in Scotland for 16 years. That's where we worked for the Lord up there for a long time. Lovely, love the place. Still miss it in many ways. But this guy's doing hill walking in the winter, would you believe? And he's on his own, solitary place. He sees a fast-flowing river. And he looks out into the through the snow and ice, and he sees what looks like a big log that is floating along this river, huge current, very, very fast. And then he sees it's not a log. It's like a dead stag or something like that. It's a corpse. So he's just looking at this, you know, it just seems to thought, well, I thought it was a log. No, it's not. It's this. And then he sees this huge bird of prey, like a vulture kind of thing, come down, and he just lands on this thing. It's like surfing along. It's like surfing along on the top of this thing, and he's pecking it. But he notices he doesn't just peck it to eat the bits of it, but enjoy. Have you had your supper, haven't you? You've had your, right? He's not just pecking it. Are you with me? He's not just pecking it. He's looking up to the future, as we'll say. And birds do that all the time, even birds in our garden. You know, you give them a piece of bread and they're looking around, and that's just what birds do. But this was seen to be looking in a different way, this big bird of prey. And then the walker looks ahead and sees what he's looking at, because this fast-flowing river is going to a precipice of a waterfall. So the bird of prey has got to make a decision. How long can I stay pecking away at this before I have to fly away? Because if I go too early, I'm going to lose, you know, some food. And so he's just judging it. The walker's watching, and he gets just to the, you know, a few meters away, and he thinks, I've timed it perfectly. And he flaps his wings, and he goes nowhere because his talons have frozen to the carcass. And when the thing goes over, he goes over. Do you know, this is celebration. But you know, I'm a preacher. I've got to preach the whole counsel of God. I will talk about God's now of blessing. I will talk about God's now. But do you know, I want to say, I want you, I'm talking about you as an individual, I want you to have God's best blessing in your life personally. And here's just a word. No condemnation here. It's just a word I really feel I've got to say. It might be for somebody. Well, it will be for somebody. How many, I don't know. If God's challenging you to just fly away, to get off the thing that's bringing this death, but you're enjoying it, friends, I want to tell you, listen, 10th anniversary, now is the time to do it. This meeting. Don't wait until it is too late. And so there's a time to drop things. You know, the Bible says this, it's in a lovely verse, and it says this, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in the holy place? That means who's going to receive future great blessing, or even blessing in the now? He who has clean hands, pure heart, not lifted up their soul into vanity or sworn deceitfully, he or she will receive. Father, I'm praying right now. I'm going to be praying in a few moments over every body in this building. But Father, I'm praying right now. Give us clean hands to receive the most best blessings that you've got for us. Father, I pray we'll be willing to drop anything that contaminates. Father, the dove never falls on roadkill. And Father, if there's anything there that's not right in any of our lives now, on this special day, at this special moment, you give us special moments, Father. There are anniversaries in Scripture, right through the time of Scripture, there's anniversaries which were special moments. Father, we pray that we will drop anything in our hands that we shouldn't be carrying. Somebody say amen. Amen. See, I want you to get the best blessings. God only puts the best blessings. I mean, God's gracious, even though we're all imperfect, he still blesses us, but he puts the best blessing for your family, for your life, for this church, in clean hands. The first thing anybody asks me, happened tonight when I travel anywhere, is I walk in the door, as soon as they see me, Maggie did it, several of you did it, John, would you like a cup of tea? Do you want a drink? You want a cup of coffee? And I didn't, because I just had one not too long ago. But say, imagine I'd come a long, long way, much further than I've come today. And I would really like to be refreshed. You want to refresh me? I want to be refreshed. But I've got a briefcase in one hand and a briefcase in another hand. Right? Your desire to bless me is wonderful. My desire to be refreshed is not ordinary. But I can't receive what you want to give me because I'm already carrying something else. And until I let go what I'm carrying, I have got to. I will never get blessed. I'll never get full. So I want to say, friends, we do, all of us, we carry stuff in our life. And I can say this with freedom because I don't know your story. I don't know anybody's story here. You don't know mine either, of course. So you can't say, oh, he's getting at me. I'm not getting at you. I don't know your story. But I want you to be blessed. I want you to be carrying into the next 10 years and the great future this church has got, everything God's got for you. And so that nothing that you're carrying now will spoil that. You know, God says to the people when they'd wandered 40 years around, he said, now you're right at the edge of the promised land. Go, just like this story, go and get ready to enter into Canaan. Get ready to get all that God's got for Hope City, Hope Church, Corby. Get ready for it. You see, he'd already given the law to Moses, but now, all these years later, Deuteronomy is about the re-giving of God's law and his promises. And he says these words, you have gone around this mountain long enough. You've gone around this mountain long enough. You see, what happens is, in church, now, you don't mind me being honest here tonight, hey? Can I be honest? We can get into a no man's land. This is what I mean by that. The people were not in slavery anymore, right? They'd come out of Egypt a long time ago. But they weren't in God's best blessing, God's best plan. They were in a bit where it was fairly comfortable, actually. It's quite comfortable. I'm not, you know, if I died tonight, I'd go to heaven. But I'm not in the best blessing God has got on. So what we do, we go round in church, and no Sunday seems very different from another. It's like on a merry-go-round. When I was a little kid, my mother would put me on one of these. Remember at the fairground? Little fire engine. Got a picture somewhere. I hope she, well, I'm sure it's lost now. She's with the Lord. And if I find it, I'll burn it. Of me with a gabardine raincoat on in July on a fire engine, which is silly when you're 27. No, no. I was about five. And you know the thing about, I'm being honest today, you get on that and you ring a little bell and you wave to your parents and all this kind of go round and round. And do you know what? You get off, after all that energy, more or less where you got on. You're not going anywhere on that little fire engine. You're going around in circles. 10th anniversary. Here's a question. Forget where the church is numerically. Am I closer to Jesus today more than I was a year ago? Have I got a deeper relationship with Jesus today than I had a year ago? Or have I been going round in circles? God's word is, at the anniversary, don't live in a no man's land. This is your now to go and enter in to the best blessings that God has got. It's so easy to be, you know, this theatre, it's a great building. You've chosen a great place, that, you know, this room, this hall. But it is set up like a theatre, which is how we have to work like that. We can't work any other way. It's just convenient. But you are not an audience. You're a body. You're the church. Amen. Yes. Amen. It's not just these aren't the people here, as great as this Pace Brand did as it is, and as great as these leaders are. That's good. But actually, if Corby is going to go to a next level spiritually, it is because we don't live in a no man's land. We don't become audience. We're not an audience. We're an army. We're not an audience, we're an army. It's time to take hold. You have been, Deuteronomy 1, break camp. It's now's the time. I've given you the land, like he said to Abraham all those years earlier. Go in and take possession of the land. But then the devil gives us excuses. You see, God in the Bible, in fact, I think the Bible is all about now moments. Do you remember? I'm going to touch on these very briefly. You know, Gideon, the story of Gideon. That man, I don't know if you've suffered with depression, right? But there's nobody in the Bible more depressed than Gideon. Gideon's name means mighty warrior. In fact, he wouldn't hear the word Gideon because he'd hear what it meant. He would hear, you know, anybody met him, how are you doing, mighty warrior? Because that is what he would hear. We hear the foreign language. And he's in a pit, trying to make some bread out of scraps because the enemy have destroyed all the harvest. And an angel comes to him and says, how are you today, mighty warrior? That's cruel, isn't it? But it's not cruel because he had a great future for Gideon. And Gideon says, do you know what? Please don't call me a mighty warrior. Please. And please, in fact, don't even call God mighty. You see, I love the scripture. Do you know why? Because it allows us to be honest. God did not strike him dead for being honest. Look at David's Psalms. Many of them are complaints almost. God loves us to be honest. God loves us to be real. God loves us to be transparent. And tell it like it is. He won't spike us down for being honest. And the angel says, look, I know you don't feel like mighty warrior, but God's got some amazing future for you. But he won't have that future while you stay in this depression. While you stay hiding in this pit, it won't happen. But again, he says, I can't do anything great for God. I don't feel weak. He says, can you get out of the pit? Can you actually just clamber out? You know, step one. He said, well, I've got enough strength to do that. He says, well, this is God's word. And friend, this is God's word for you tonight. If you feel you're the weakest Christian in Hope Church, you think everybody else is closer to God than me, everybody else is more worthy than me, it's a great church, but I'm amongst the top bottom 5%. Listen, you know what the Bible says? I love it. So blesses me. Go in the strength you've got. Even if it's only enough to make a few steps, but advance into your future. And because Gideon did that, he did not wait until emotionally he was pumped up. Emotionally he was right. Spiritually he was top. He said, I'm going to go in the strength that I've got into the future God's got for me. I'm praying that over you. I'm praying that over you tonight, friends. Because I'm not just preaching to, you know, great women of faith and great men of faith here. I'm preaching tonight to people who are struggling. That's not a word of knowledge. That's the law of averages in a church this size. There will be people who are struggling. But that's not an excuse not to go into your future now. David had been anointed as a boy. He'd been told that your big brothers, your big macho brothers, they're not going to be kings in Israel. The prophet's come to the house because he's been told that out of this family, out of Jesse's family, will come a king. And God has rejected each one of these as king. And he's asked the father, Jesse, is there nobody else that you've got as a son because you're supposed to bring them out? And he says, well, I've got this boy. He spends all his time in the field writing poems and playing his guitar, harp. I mean, he's not a king, is he? Friends, don't typecast the people that God's going to use. What a lovely testimony from that young lady there that was out there before. God told me, I'm a young girl, but God can still use me. You see, that's a now faith. That's a now faith. Now, David didn't say, wait till I'm taller, wait till I'm older. I'm going to fight the giant now. Deborah could have said, well, if only I was not a woman. But no, there was nobody else around, and so it was her moment. And that's why God brought a great victory from them. Jesus said, don't you have a saying, John 4:35, it's still 4 months future procrastination to harvest. I tell you, open your eyes. Open your eyes. 2,000 years after this was said to Abraham, Jesus is still saying it to his disciples. Open your eyes. Look up. Corby's ripe for harvest now. Hey, my neighbors are ripe for harvest to hear about Jesus now. Many of you know that David and Margaret were our neighbors many, many years ago, and we had the joy of leading them to Jesus. Your neighbors are open now to receive the word of God now. I don't know if you're baptized in the Spirit. I don't know if you moved into that area in your life yet. But our friends, this is the time. This is the time to get into God's blessing. God gave the message of the resurrection to a woman. She said, go and tell the brethren. Go and tell the men. And so she went to Peter and John. Peter, we see in the Bible, the big fisherman, they call him. Great big muscle brown guy. Big fella. John, we always think of as more slight and a bit more delicate. And he says, Jesus is alive. Can't be. Yes, he is. You go to the tomb and you'll find the tomb is empty. The Bible says, there's no poetic license, no preacher license here. This is what the Bible says. They both were excited. in there now. They both started off running. And because John was fitter, he got to the tomb first. But he was scared to go in. I mean, who wants to go into a tomb? And so he gets there first. Young people, as we close tonight, there's a word for you. New Christian, not being long at the church, a word for you tonight. John gets there first. Peter runs, he's lumbering on. He comes later. But you know what Peter did? He came later, but he did something John didn't do. He entered in to experience the resurrection for himself. I thank God for those who are here in the early days. Thank God for you. God bless you. And God will use you in the future as he's used you in the past. But please don't disqualify yourself because you're new to the church. Don't disqualify yourself because you haven't been saved a long time. Don't disqualify yourself because you're younger. It's not who gets there first. It's who enters in and says, this is my now moment. I want to read a passage before we pray now. And this is from the Message. This is from the Message. And it's taken from Romans chapter 13, verse 12 to 14. And as I read it, I want to read it over you. I don't want to read it to you. I want to read it over you. How many people know the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword? It's not just a book. It's a book that reads us. It's the living Word of God. I was in a meeting 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. There was a member of parliament there, being in the cabinet. And there was the mayor there. Not the mayor. There was some councillors there. And God gave me a word, a prophetic word for their life. And so I shared that with them. And I got a letter from Westminster about a fortnight later, because God has spoken into the lives of these people, because they just thought that coming to church, not because they was a member of parliament or somebody like that, it was because they weren't yet Christians, and they just thought prayers were empty words. They didn't realize how powerful we were. So will you all stand? Will everybody stand while I read this over you? Then we're going to pray. I want to pray over here. Then I'm going to ask us to do, if there are any ministers here who have churches in the town, I'm going to just say something over your life as well. Romans 13. You might want to close your eyes. You might just want to just have a time with the Lord and just listen to this for your life. But make sure that you don't get so absorbed and exhausted in taking care of all your day-by-day obligations that you lose track of the time and doze off, oblivious to God. The night is about over, dawn is about to break. Now's the moment. Be up, be awake to what God is doing. God is putting the finishing touches on the salvation work he began when we first believed. We can't afford to waste a minute, must not squander these precious daylight hours. This is God's now. In frivolity and indulgences, sleeping around, dissipation, in bickering, grabbing everything in sight. Get out of bed. Get dressed now. Don't loiter. Don't linger. Waiting until the very last minute. Do you remember the picture there? The last minute. Dress yourselves in Christ. Be up and about. It's God's now. It's God's now. I want everybody just to close their eyes a moment. Would you do that for me? I don't ask anything when I come to preach in any church. I might ask, is there a car parking space for me? That's about all. But I do ask this, and every time I get to this kind of moment we're in now, no one looks around what other people are doing. I want us to give people space, a bit of privacy. And I want you to have space as well, a bit of privacy. Because now is an important moment. We're looking to the next 10, 20, 30 years if the Lord tarries. But it's a now moment. And you say, John, when you're talking about something that I'm enjoying in the temporal, but God's been challenging me about, And I've just been putting it off. And I'm going to say that this day and this 10th anniversary, this is my now to let this go, leave this behind me, and just fly off into God's best purpose, free away from anything that stuff can do on me. If you've heard that from God, raise your hand right now, right where you are. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. God bless you. Take your hands down when I've seen no one else looking around. God bless you. God bless you. I'm looking right up in the gallery. God bless you. Thank God for honest people. Friends, you're releasing stuff in order to take hold of something better. You're releasing stuff in order to claim. God bless you. I see you there. And I'm not going to ask anybody to respond here because I believe every child of God would want this. I believe everyone in this room wants us to live in God's now. Not in God's yesterday or even God's tomorrow, but you want to live in God's now. Father, I want to receive my baptism in the Holy Spirit now. Father, I want my healing now. Father, I want to be set free from what's holding me back now in Jesus' name. Now in Jesus' name. If you're comfortable with this, just raise your hand where you are. Just say, Lord, just pour into my life now all that you've got for me. I'm a vessel. I'm a field. I want you to sow into me right now. Father, I want my answer to prayer right now in this place. I want this 10th anniversary to be the moment when I can look back and say, I took my now at that moment. I received God in a special way at that moment. And my future was secured in that moment. Thank you, Father. I'm going to pray with you in a moment, but I want to pray a corporate prayer. If you're comfortable in repeating these things after me, please speak them out loud in faith as I say it stanza by stanza. Heavenly Father, thank you for yesterday. Thank you for these past 10 years. Thank you for my friends within this place. Thank you for the encouragement I've received. Thank you for the prayers that have been answered and the victories that have been held. And now, Father, as we look into the future, Father, thank you for all the promises you have for my life, for my family, for this church, for our community, for the area of Corby. Father, use me now to be an agent of change. Use me now as a vehicle to bring in your purpose from this day forward. In Jesus' name. Amen. And while we remain in prayer, if there are any pastors of churches and we're so grateful that you've come along here to share in this celebration and show solidarity with this congregation. We want God's blessing over your life. Would you join me here right at the front? If you're a pastor and you're from another church in the area, could you join me? Anybody here, perhaps, that somebody's coming? Good. Thank you, pastors. You see, when I talk to Damien on those few occasions in a year we meet, they're very important to me and I hope to him. He's not in competition with anybody, you know that, don't you? He really wants you to be blessed as much as he wants this house to be blessed. There's not a competitive spirit in this man's body. He really wants that. And so I want to just lay hands on you, if I may, before I pray for the church. I want God's best blessing for you. I say, Father, thank you for the whole of this area. Thank you for every church. Thank you, Father, for every leader. Thank you, Father, for every purpose. And we see my brother here represents churches together and the churches that he represents. Bless those churches, Lord. We pray, Father, that every member of their congregations will experience you in a deeper way in their future, because this is their now. Father, I pray for a double anointing of ministry. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done in this man's life. Thank you, Lord, for the way you've led him. Thank you for his faithfulness and obedience. Father, we said before, we can't outgive you. Will you bless him and anoint him and anoint them together in Jesus' name? And every church, Father, we pray for your blessing, your increase and your harvest in Jesus' name. If any of you would like to pray for this church before I pray for it, just a short prayer, because you know when you pray, When you pray for this people, God's going to bless you in a double way, because they're praying for you too.
Father, we thank you for the past 10 years, which is an indication of where Hope Church is going. Thank you, Father, for the many nations that you have brought together. For this is a house for prayer for all nations. And Father, we thank you for the nations represented here, O God. And we thank you for even more nations that they have never prayed for that you are bringing to this house. Thank you, Lord, for expansion. Thank you, Lord, for territories, Lord, that they are going to take from now on from their 10th anniversary. Therefore, Father, we thank you, Lord, for many that you are bringing into this house with the right heart to see this work go into the next level. Therefore, I speak blessings, Father. I speak prosperity. I speak miracles, unusual and uncommon miracles. Yes, Lord, that you are going to bring through the hands of many that you are raising, oh God. Not only on the pastors, but Lord, even people that never thought they are going to be used in this season, Lord, I pray that, Lord, you raise them to the next level. I thank you for what you are doing in Jesus' mighty name.
Thank you. You prayed for us earlier, so we received that prayer. Thank you for that. Thank you, sister. Now, friends, I want us, as we're praying, we prayed for the folk in the town. I want to pray over you. You know, we Pentecostals, charismatics, we're very good transmitters. We transmit praise, we transmit testimony, but we're not always brilliant receivers. We other denominations sometimes are a bit better at quietness and receiving. And I don't want you to be in transmission mode now. Don't want you to be praying in English or in tongues, praying for anything. I want you to be receiving from God. Just receiving. Just receiving. The greatest prayer I've ever prayed of my life since I began ministry a long time ago is, God, give me everything you've got for me. It's the most important prayer you can. I have a mirror that was engraved by a well-known artist and who does engraving, and it says, God, give me everything you've got for me. Every time I look in that mirror, I'm saying, God, give me everything you've got for me. Would you say that with me? God, give me everything you've got for me. Everything you've got for me. Don't withhold anything back. And so, Father, I pray over this house. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for Damon and Maggie and the whole team, the elders, those who were there in the initial group, those who have joined in the years since. Father, I pray that this future period in their ministry and life and the life of this church will be one of harvest, will be one of blessing. Father, I pray for your protection over this house. I pray in every way. Will you build a wall of fire so that nothing spoils the unity, nothing spoils the harvest that's coming? Father, I pray for that. And I pray, Lord, that even when storms may come in years to come, Father, that this ship will feel stronger in the waves than if it was in the harbor. Father, I pray for those times when challenges come in the lives of families, which are inevitable. It happens, Lord. Father, will this place be a place of resource? Will this house be a place of sanctuary? Will this be a place, Lord, where those in the area, in the town, who feel marginalized, find that this is a place of healing? This is a place of safety. We pray, Lord, that this house and the churches in the area will be a great beacon. Father, we pray in a great beacon. We speak, Father, a transmission of light, of testimony, and of faith, and of faithfulness out of this place in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. We're going to sing some songs of celebration, some songs of praise. I'm handing back to the pastor. And friends, receive this as your now. Is anybody receiving a now word tonight? Amen. Then let's receive it. You're now, young people, your time in Jesus' name.